Blog Talk Radio.
Want to welcome race fans to another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. I am your co-host, Mr. CJ Sports. I'm going to bring on your host here in just one second. Before we do, I want to make sure that you guys check us out on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com. I also got to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Paige Stockdale of It Works, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio for being some great marketing partners and networks. And we couldn't do this without you guys. So I got to make sure I thank them. Got a great show. Actually, Chris has got a great show planned for you guys tonight. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and get our co-host or our host in here. Chris, you a little caution play. Craig and Chris, how you doing tonight?
How the hell are you? It's Mr. CJ Sports. Once again, we'll have us another great night. Yeah, action-packed, jammed out, man. You know how we do it on Racing with Big Sweat. Once again, as always, when we start the show out, we want to take this time to remember number 91. That's Steve Billmeyer. It's been a tough time filling these shoes. One of the best crew chiefs of my time. He was my crew chief on the radio show, but I guarantee you he inspired a lot of people in the garage as well, and all forms of racing, in the asphalt late model and the upper divisions as well. So just always a shout out at the beginning of the show to a man we miss a lot, Steve. Rest in peace, brother, and I hope you're listening in tonight. But we're going to move right along into things. Well, Mr. CJ Sports, wow. I mean, what's going on here? Kyle Larson picks up another win. He looked just dominant at Michigan there at the end. I tell you what, who would have thought that, you know, it would have moved this fast? You know, we waited for Kyle Larson to blossom. But now, it's like, gosh, man, can the kid hit the brakes any? He won four races last week, and only one of them was a cup race. So, you know, the kid definitely loves to drive, and a shout-out to Larson and the Chip Ganassi number 42 Target team up there on the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Circuit, doing a great job there. And I tell you, CJ, it really shows that this kid is he's one to be reckoned with. Now, I do want to get a quick update. We did a poll last week, and the two people that you and I both kind of harbored on about who was probably the greatest of all time, it's the GOAT theory. I tell you what, man, we threw Dale Earnhardt out there, and we didn't give him a chance, but the fans said otherwise. It was almost a half. At times, it was a third. But Jimmy Johnson closed in on second. I think all of the guys that we talked about wound up in the top five, including Gordon. So, you know, it really shows that we were on the money, but there's a lot of Dale Earnhardt fans out there that, you know, 16 years later, they haven't forgotten who the greatest of all time in their era was. So definitely the march will go on. I'm telling y'all, Kyle Busch has 173 wins. He's going to make a lot more before it's over with. I think what's holding Kyle Busch back, guys, is his lack of championships. And, you know, the new Kyle Busch should bring the championships to the forefront. But at the same time, Mr. CJ Sports, don't you believe that our championship is really just a crapshoot?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And that's unfortunate. I know I kind of caught you off with that one, and I didn't mean to, CJ, but, you know, a lot of times you can get the honesty out of somebody before they really think about it. And to be honest, guys, it is a crapshoot at the end of the year. They need to make some adjustments, I believe. And don't listen to the fans. Find a formula that works and stick to it. But my main argument that why it's a crapshoot is, if you've got to win for 26 races to get in, then how in the heck can you win in the playoffs and not be there at the end to race for a championship? My deal, hands down, if you would fix this one thing, I would never ask for anything in racing again. If you win in the playoffs, you earn a seed at Homestead. And if it's this year at Homestead, next year at Texas, and the next year at Watkins Glen, and the next year at Pocono, if that's how you got to do it, like they do the Super Bowl to keep a on-field advantage from happening, you know, NASCAR, y'all got plenty of people to figure this out. But it's just hard to sell to the fans every weekend that you win to get in, but just because you win in a set of the playoffs doesn't mean that you're going to go all the way to the end. A playoff win is a playoff win, and we're not sitting these guys side by side. They do have to race the other elements. I had a gentleman tell me the other day, he said, I would love to see the race come down to anybody who won, got to race that championship race. And I said, hold up, Steve, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, like they do the all-star race. You want the winners already locked in. And then give one race on Saturday evening, and it's the open race. And none of the guys that have won are allowed to race that race. And just like the open, they race their way into the championship. And then you've got maybe 15, 16, 17, 18 cars in the field to race for a championship. And let me tell you something, when you got 18 cars going 5 or 250 or however many laps they would make it, brother, I think that would come down to one of the coolest championships we've ever seen. Now, that's wishful thinking, and I love the idea that he threw out there, but my only deal is if we want to make the championship worth talking about, because we're obviously crowning folks for championships these days. And I agree with that. I don't agree with the participation trophies. I agree with the having to earn it. But in order to match Jimmy Johnson's seven championships, possibly eight before he leaves, I just don't see it with this new crapshoot. You know, it took consistency for Jimmy to get him, and he's the one in a lot of different types of playoff systems. But he's always seemed to prevail. So, you know, if you're going to compare Johnson's trophies to Earnhardt and Petty, they're each generation worth their own. So let's make the next generation worth even more and give these guys a chance to race for a championship there at the end. If you win, you're in. And I buy into that. Mr. CJ Sports, I took up too much time on that. I want to get your thoughts on it, though.
So what happens if we have nine different winners leading up to Homestead and none of those four happen to be the top four drivers point-wise? Because, let's say, Truex, he's managing, and Kyle Larson have managed to get all these playoff points that are good with them all the way through Homestead. So let's say we have Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex, and, I don't know, another driver, Keselowski, that accumulate a bunch of playoff points enough to coast themselves to Homestead. We have nine other racers in out of the 16 that win a race during the chase or the playoffs. Would you be fine with a 13-man playoff system for the final race?
You know, I think where I'm at right now, CJ, interesting concept that you have there. And I believe that, yes, what kind of overshadows everything of what you just said is I want to bring the fact up that we've had 10 different winners already. There's 16 spots. And you want to start naming the guys who haven't got a win this year yet? Let's start over in Joe Gibbs' camp because we got Matt Kenseth. We've got Kyle Busch. We've got Denny Hamlin. All of a sudden, that's 13, okay? Junior hasn't won. That's 14, if there's a possibility. You know, Casey Kane hasn't won. That's 15, okay? Now, all of a sudden, we're down to that last one that was predicted to be off of, well, he earned it because he got the points. You know, we only got 16 slots here. There's a lot of drivers who've not won. We still got two road courses. you know, there's always a chance that who's from the other camps? Chase Elliott, the 16th mm-hmm. driver. Okay, and we've got a handful of these guys who have won and are in. I'm not necessarily banking on right now. They're going to have to keep showing something.
Logano ain't won a race yet either this year, has he?
No, Logano hasn't either. That's 17. 17 guys that we know are capable of winning a race. And the list can go on because, I mean, these guys are, you know, in the top equipment. Jamie McMurray has run so well. You know, he's knocking on the door. Chase Elliott, 3 second places. You know, it's eye-opening that, you know, the win and you're in theory may not necessarily work this year. And I think that's what kind of puts the perspective in the playoff idea is, You know, we've run on this. If you win, you're in. But there's a few of those guys that have won. They're going to have to worry about top five finishes. Top five and top tens are going to get you into the playoffs, not necessarily just that win. And if we have a year where you don't have Kyle Busch in victory lane, where you don't have a Matt Kenseth, you don't have a Denny Hamlin, you don't have a Joey Logano, who's technically not won, so he's not on the list. You know, you're right. He's an incumbent. His win was was taken away. So, by playoffs. So, you know, we're looking at several drivers that could really change the makeup of what we are considering the playoff system. And once again, when you talk about what's it called, CJ Sports, the extra points given, what's the actual name of them? You know, for the extra points, the segments. No, it's the segments. They call it it's not segment. Yeah, is it segment racing? Yeah, okay. The segment points, yeah. Stage points. There it is. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. The stage points. Okay, I'll write stage down real quick so I don't forget that word again. But, yeah, I mean, so, you know, we haven't even counted in what kind of effect these stage points are going to have, and being able to carry them on throughout the playoffs is going to be very interesting, especially with Martin Truex Jr. Really, that Furniture Row Racing team has centered on getting these stage wins, and he's racking them up, and we've talked about that before.
We kind of talked about that last week. I think it'd be interesting how much things would change. I think the two camps that wouldn't change would be Martin Truex and Kyle Larson, because like they are bound and determined to get every stage point, get every playoff point they possibly can. But these other drivers that maybe have kind of cruised since they got their win, I think if they were in, I would love for us to start creeping up on 14, 15 winners over the next 6-7 races, and then start to watch everybody kind of squirm, because
just another name come to me. I'm sorry, I should have wrote that down. That come right out of my mouth. But yeah, you're so right, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said it's thinking how crazy we label this silly season. How silly would things be if we did end up with 17 or 18 winners, and we find one or two drivers on the outside looking in that had wins? Kevin Harvick even won yet this year?
No, he's not. Kevin Harvick. And we're coming up on a road course, guys. We're coming up on a road course, and that's going to attract names like A.J. Allmendinger, Danica Patrick even, Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer's won on the road course. Joey Logano, you know, number 11 could happen just this week, and you know, there's big name guys. Kyle Busch. We've seen Kyle Busch win at a road course, so you know, it's definitely the. I think the door is wide open this year to have over 16 winners. And to be honest with you, Mr. CJ Sports, that's exactly what we needed in NASCAR. It is so nice to pick up that Monday paper and look down the standings. I know nobody does that anymore, but I'm just, you know, I'm in my visionary world. So, you know, you pick up that Monday paper and you go scrolling down the final finishing order, and it's not the same guy every week. It's beautiful. I think that it's wonderful. It's great for racing. It's a name when you find the name Ryan Blaney or you find the name Kyle Larson. All of a sudden, you've got these older fans who've turned the boob tube off a little bit for a while and have followed other things like golf and basketball. Now they're picking up the Monday paper and they're seeing Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott. They're seeing these names that they don't know, Daniel Suarez. You know, and I think that's really good for racing right now. And so I don't know if this is a bad thing. What do you think, CJ Sports?
No, it's not. It's definitely not a bad thing.
I don't think it is either. I think that this is great for the sport. But we can move from this subject. I've got so much to talk about in such little time, unless you got something that you want to finish off with that, CJ.
I think fans don't appreciate it. I think that fans still spend too much time bickering, crying about the minor things and not appreciating what is actually going on and the talent that we're seeing. And
watching this all unfold, knowing that we could have more than that 16 different winners in the first 26 races, and the talent pool of today's NASCAR is so much deeper than it has been for a very long time.
Yes.
And the fans are so wrapped up on bickering amongst each other on social media, or bickering about the changes that NASCAR is making, even though they're the ones that are complaining and NASCAR is making the changes for them. I just don't think the fans are appreciating what's going on right now.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that, you know, is just the overspill. NASCAR's panic because they knew that they were in the box and they needed to get out of the penalty box. And so they panicked, and now they've thrown a lot of ideas out there. But CJ Sports, it's time to bring order back to NASCAR. It's time to have the same point system over the next 10 years. It's time to have the same playoff system. We need order again so that these young guys can get used to something and know how to play it. But now that doesn't necessarily mean – I mean, you threw the wrench in the bucket every year with Jimmy Johnson and made it harder and harder for him to win, and he still got a championship. So I don't really know how that's going to play out. But as you said, I think it's a very exciting time in the upper leagues of racing right now, which will move us right on over to one exciting driver that we've been already talking about, and that's Ryan Blaney, guys, the number 21 Wood Brothers. Man, he's sitting over there. He's chilling with the old folks, you know. He's learning a lot about racing through the guys and through the eyes of the legends of the Wood Brother family. And I almost feel, Mr. CJ Sports, that there's a little bit of I don't want to go in Ryan Blaney. A little bit of I kind of am comfortable where I am, but oh, Captain, if you call me, I'll be there. And I want to know how you feel about this because, to be honest with you, I'm kind of heartbroken to see Blaney leave the 21. It's like I know that the captain can bring him over there. I know that he has a car for him, but he has a car for him in the 21 too. So why mess up the marriage that's going on right now, the good times that we're seeing. Let me tell you something, race fans. 21 Wood Brothers Motorcraft Ford is good for NASCAR when it's in victory lane. And I don't give a darn or hoot or whatever who's on here who's not a Blaney fan or a Wood Brothers fan. They're not going to be able to argue with me. When the 21 is in victory lane, NASCAR is good. And I know that there's, you know, NASCAR throughout the years has always maintained whether the Wood Brothers win or not. But look at the legends who've won through that car. That is a piece of history that does not need to be let go, because it's not just Wood Brothers racing there, sir. It's and people will disagree. It's Bud Moore. It's June Dunlavey. It's J.D. McDuffie's team. It's all these teams trapped into that 121, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the 21 has been the only one to be able to survive. Those Wood Brother guys have been out there. They've seen these drivers. They've been in that Cup garage for 40-plus years, 50-plus years, 60 years, however many years. Man, I'm cutting them short, man. I forget how old I am. But the Wood Brothers is an established team. And CJ Sports, I want to tell one reason that I think Blaney would be better off at the Wood Brothers than to actually go to Penske. Because at the Wood Brothers, Ryan Blaney can pull up at the shop and he's just another guy. But that other guy is the driver of a historical team. He can bond with these guys. He can drink a beer with some of them and sit down and have a father-son talk with another. When he goes to Penske, it's all business and he's number three in the shop. He's number three. Right now, he's number one in the shop when he pulls up at the Wood Brothers. That's my argument. I think that Ryan Blaney I don't want to be judgmental of a character, but I feel like Ryan has some rough edges, and get him under a strict roof, and we're going to see maybe a different Ryan Blaney. We watched it with Joey Logano. Joey Logano prevailed at Penske, but he always felt under lock and key at Joe Gibbs. And I don't want to see Ryan Blaney fall into that. Let me get your take on that, CJ Sports.
I'm kind of torn on that because I think the best thing that ever could have happened to Joey Logano is being number two to Brett Keselowski and being his teammate. And
I don't know that if Ryan Blaney pulling the 50 is a bad thing, because he looks up to both these drivers. They have great chemistry. And now you're on the same team. Now that bond, that team becomes, you know, a one versus
a power
S2 out. And then the satellite team. I agree. There's this downfalls to it. One, now you got to split the attention of the equipment, everything across the board, because there's three of you versus you being the only one that the focus is on. And you know, we see the multi-car teams. Usually when you start getting to Team 3 and Team 4, they're not performing to the performance of the first and two. We've watched that Hendrick Motorsports, the Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon. All the rest of the cars have been kind of second tier. We've seen that at Stewart Haas Racing with Danica Patrick kind of having the bottom car. And even that 14 car has not been performing to the level of Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick. So I think it's really got its pros and its cons. Me, personally, it's more of I would rather, and I said this last week, and it's really tough because Penske does have a lot of history in racing, but I think that I would plead my case to not going anywhere, because having an opportunity to drive for Wood Brothers, I think, would pop off. But I think Ryan Blaney is in a no-lose situation. Either you stay at Wood Brothers, you're still part of Penske, and you get the ultimate 100% undivided attention, and all the focus is on your car, your equipment, your performance, your notes, everything. Or you
right.
go
because
to
one
Penske
thing is true. Hold on, right there. I want to make this statement real quick, CJ. Hold that thought. One thing that is true when you're with the captain, when you're at Penske, is money doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Or you're at Penske and you're part of a team that is a championship team, is a winning team. You get to use their notes. You get to lean on their shoulder. You get to use the equipment. It's not passed down onto you over to Wood Brothers like it is now. So it's got its pros and its cons. I'm kind of in limbo on which would be better for Ryan Blaney, because I can see the good and the bad in both situations.
Very well thought out. And there's pros and cons in anything that you do. To be honest with you, and I'm going to be perfectly honest on here, if I was Ryan Blaney, I would have already called Rick Hendrick. Since I'm neighbors with Dale Jr., how about letting me drive his car? And I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that in any other way than just saying, you know, hey, if I was second-guessing what my contract asked of me, and I wanted to stay at Wood Brothers, then my best option may be the third option. The third option is saying no to both of them and going to Hendrick, because, you know, Ryan Blaney's still a young talent, but he's proven, and he got a win before Chase Elliott, and they come up about the same time. So if he could be entertained in that offer, I definitely would not see any harm in Ryan Blaney picking up the phone and calling Rick and seeing what Rick may have to offer to him. It is silly season. I'm sure by now y'all are silly from hearing it, because there's been all kinds of rumors and shakeups and supposes, and this is going here and going there. We've actually had a couple of shows about it already. I myself believe that, you know, the dominoes haven't fallen yet. I think after this week, I'm pretty much more confident that Keselowski is going to stay at Penske. At first, I was kind of feeling like maybe Ryan Blaney was going to wind up in the two with Miller Lite sponsorship, being that that's the way it's been done since Rusty left. You know, it's the driver's been in the seat. The next thing you know, it went from Rusty to Kurt to Brad. So it definitely wouldn't knock my socks off if Keselowski had decided to go on somewhere else, or Blaney was given the nod to take over the two. I don't think that that's going to happen now. And I'll make that perfectly clear. I don't think that that's going to happen. But some interesting things have come out this week that maybe Ryan Newman and Matt Kenseth could be the top dogs to land in the 88 rod, which, once again, you know, I hate to beat on the train track too, on the rail car too much, but You know, I told you guys, Bowman was not going to fit the grade. How do you feel about that? I mean, it's literally, it's in your face right now that Bowman's probably not going to be in that 88. Do you have any changed feelings with that?
No, it's not here otherwise. I feel that it's Bowman's ride to lose. I feel that that is the best. Why bring, you said Newman, and who else?
Kenseth, Matt Kenseth.
Why bring two drivers that are on the back end of their career? You're talking two drivers that are, what, 40, getting ready to be 40? Why would you bring
Kenseth is 45 or 46, yeah. Kenseth was a late bloomer.
Yes, why would you want to bring either one of those two drivers that are not far from retiring? Why would you not put Alex Bowman, and if he's successful, do you have your future in that 88 for the next handful of years easy? If not, Brian Newman or Matt Kenseth, to me, is only a maybe 2-3 year stop at best before you got to go through this whole rotation again. I'm sorry, but Alex Bowman showed us that
this is where I argue. This is what gets this whole situation heated up, because it's like you don't see that history repeats itself, Mr. CJ Sports. Mr. Hendrick went and got a guy out of retirement to fill the 5 car. Remember who that was? Mark Martin. How many wins did Mark Martin get at the Hendrick stable, brother? Huh? After he retired, how many? Five wins.
That was more about trying to give Mark Martin a championship. I think that's what that was about. Not the full amount of
retirement. He gave him a run for their money, too, didn't he? He gave him a run for their money that year, too, didn't he?
Yes. And I think that's all that was about. And I think all it was about over at Michael Waltrip Racing was help that program get on their feet and develop the drivers. This is a whole different situation. This is not to sentimentally give either one of these two a championship. As a matter of fact, Kenseth has already got a championship. Didn't Ryan Newman got a championship as well already?
No, he's a Daytona 500 champion.
Okay.
That's as far as the champion. He did finish second that one time at Bandcamp.
Yeah, well, I just I see no point that to I see no point. That's like, and I'm trying to think. That's like asking Peyton Manning to come back and play for 2 or 3 years. Versus drafting a quarterback or getting a young quarterback in the NFL to be your new franchise quarterback. To me, that would just be stupid. To have Alex Bowman and the chemistry already there, know that he can drive smart and he worked really good with that team and can be your future because he's young.
You're right.
I just don't see that being a wise move.
I've never seen a replacement driver build himself up to speed as quickly as Alex Bowman. It was like after about 3 or 4 times of in that car, Alex really understood what he was having to handle. He really understood the dynamics of the car. He understood how to communicate with the crew chief. Those are a lot of things that you can't teach kids, and this kid already has it. But my argument to it is, if you know William Byron is not ready, but you got to replace two drivers – Jimmy, I'm not going to be like Trump and stay off subject. I'll come back to the Jimmy Johnson thing, okay? But what I'm trying to say is it will work out better if you take your chance on the young guy and also fill the spot with a veteran who's capable of winning. I don't know if Ryan Newman is still capable of winning at an elite level, but I know Iceman Matt Kenseth is. Matt Kenseth and Terry Labonte remind me so much of each other. And like Terry Labonte, Matt Kenseth has a chance to win a championship in his older age. He won one when he was younger. Terry Labonte is another good reason to find a Matt Kenseth and put him in the 88 car. I'm sorry. I just feel like maybe the 5 car and put Bowman in the 88. Either way, it's the same. It's the same car, just one goes to one garage or the other.
This is one. I don't think people get Alex Bowman enough credit, because not only did he perform well, he performed well in the 88 car. That's a lot of pressure for a young driver to step into a car such as the 88. To Chase Elliott stepping into the 24. Whoever steps into the 48.
I remind you, Kenny Wallace stepped in for Ernie Irvin. It didn't make Kenny Wallace a better driver in the end.
are we
in
really
the 28 card.
Ernie,
you know, I mean,
are we really comparing Ernie Irvin to Dale Jr.? Are you really?
We're gonna compare the Herminator versus Bowman. Exactly. Herminator had plenty of chance to prove, and you know what? Thank God he pushed Dale Earnhardt to his last win. Because Kenny really set his mark in racing, and I love Kenny Wallace, and he knows me as Caution Flag. So I've known Kenny for quite a while. When I see him at the Magnolia, he always waves at me. But, you know, he waves at everybody else, too. So, but anyway, he doesn't know about my Herminator impersonation. But if I started doing that, I definitely know he'd know me then, for sure. So anyway, you know, but what I'm saying is Kenny Wallace – people had a lot of, you know, a lot of expectations of what Kenny might be able to do. And, you know, he filled in the Ernie Irvin car when Ernie had that bad crash in Michigan. And he did a great job. And we were like, oh, man, you know, the Wallace brother, move over Rusty. Move him on over. Here comes Kenny. The Herminator's going to get Rusty. And it never happened. You know, so I want to make sure at Hendrick Motorsports is what I'm going to lead to right now. Rick Hendrick knows I've got one driver out of four that's been in victory lane. So, Jimmy Johnson, you're good. The rest of you, step your game up. Or I'm going to find somebody in this cars that will. And we already know Junior's gone. And we're already hearing Kane is gone. So, Chase Elliott, and let me tell you something. Chase doesn't have anything to worry about. He's the prodigy. He was Hendrick's investment a long time ago. And his investment's paying off. The kid will go to victory lane. 3 second place finishes already this year, and I think all of them are to Kyle Larson.
This is what needs to happen over Hendrick Motorsport. Bowman needs to step into the 88. Once Casey Kane's contract is done, William Byron steps into the 5 car. You got three young guns. You build that chemistry, just like we see over Penske with Keselowski and Logano when they were a little bit younger, how that worked out. You're still being led by a veteran seven-time champion. And then when it's time for Jimmy Johnson to move on, you now have a stable of three really good drivers, and you've already put another driver into William Byron's old ride in the Xfinity Series to replace your driver in the 48 car. That's what needs to happen.
Well, and if you're going to call Chase Elliott a veteran, remember, CJ Sports, there are two shops here. And
at that
then
time,
what you would
we'll
have is, yeah, I guess you're right. I can't argue that. Chase could step up to the plate. Gordon stepped up to the plate very early in his career, and if Chase was really everything that Rick Hendrick says he is, then your theory is exactly right.
What I'm saying, though, by the time Jimmy Johnson retires, William Byron, Alex Bowman, and Chase Elliott will be very experienced. Let's call it that way. I don't know if we would work better. You're looking at 3 to 5 years down the road. You will have those three guys develop, and the future of Hendrick Motorsports will be the present. And that way, you can slip in the back door, whoever you put in your Xfinity Series ride, and develop at that point, slip into the 48. Jimmy Johnson will have done his job and mentored and got these three other guys ready to take over and be the banner for Hendrick Motorsports while you're still developing. So I think that is where these teams are screwing up. You got a bunch of teams that wouldn't got these superstars. You got Kevin Harvick, you got Kurt Busch, you got Matt Kenseth, you had Carl Edwards. You had a bunch of veteran drivers. Once they were gone, that left everybody scrambling to find drivers to fill these seats. Just like Dale Jr., when we were going to fill the 88, everybody kind of scrambling around trying to figure out what's going to happen. I don't think teams are using their farm system effectively enough. And this is an opportunity for Hendrick Motorsports to use their farm system. Put out Coleman in park, Will Byron in park, and get yourself ready to go up and pick over Jimmy Johnson's spot while you guys are moving into the future.
And my argument to that is Hendrick would have to sell 4 sponsorships to guys with less than 5 years experience racing. Because even if you brought William Byron and Alex Bowman in next year, you're going to have 3 guys under your roof with less than 5 years experience, which is hard to sell sponsorship, especially Fortune 500 companies. Jimmy Johnson, there's something going on up in the Jimmy Johnson camp. Lowe's only signed up for 1 year. Chad Knaus has only signed up for 1 year. But Jimmy Johnson signed a 3-year deal. Now, you know, we know the lifetime contract that Gordon had. Jimmy has more championships than Gordon has, but yet no lifetime contract there. Could we possibly see Jimmy Johnson leave the Hendrick camp in a couple of years? Basically because, well, as you say, Hendrick's got these young guys coming up, and he's going to fill his field full of farm system guys with no veteran leadership. I just find that to be hard to believe, CJ Sports. I really do. It's because the environment that has been created, the environment that's been created in NASCAR to sell sponsorship, I want a proven talent. And when you've got a mainstream race team like Hendrick Motorsports, you have no room for a bunch of wannabes or used-to-bes or has-beens. You've got to have the best talent now, because that's what sets Hendrick apart from the rest. Is his drivers are the best in the business. It would not surprise me at all if in 5 years we looked at Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, who's some of the other guys? Oh, yeah, Chase Elliott and Daniel Suarez all at the Hendrick camp. So all these guys that we're picking and choosing, Hendrick could go out there like the Yankees and buy whatever driver he wants. It's just going to be hard to sell me that he's going to have three guys in his camp with less than 5 years' experience in the next 2 years. I find that hard to believe, and it's going to be a push, but if anybody can pull it off, it'll be Mr. Hendrick. And since we're talking about owners, what I want to bring to everybody's attention is, do you realize that all four of the major owners are over 70 years of age? How much longer are these guys going to be able to sell sponsorship, knowing that their age in the business is getting on up there? And from what I understand, and from doing a little bit of research this week, only the Moody team is the only team to survive more than 3 years after a change of ownership or the change of hands to the younger generation, other than the Wood Brothers, has it been able to succeed. In other words, Hendrick doesn't have the son to take over the enterprise. We don't know what Penske's going to do in 10 years. These guys are getting older. Who's going to take their – who's going to fill their shoes, Mr. CJ Sports? Are we going to have a Hendrick Motorsports in 10 years?
I'm sure that there will be. I'm sure there's got to be a plan somewhere. I mean, Dale Jr., you know, has been quoted as being the son that Hendrick's never had. I think Gordon's been visualized that at some point. I would be surprised if there's already a plan that involves one of those two drivers over Hendrick Motorsport. If something was to happen before another plan is put into place, you are to take over the day-to-day operations. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and Penske, too. You know, it just seems there's got to be a plan. The Wood Brothers, of course, the Wood Brothers have passed the metal down to the younger generation. Leonard and them don't do as much hands-on as what they used to be. It's, you know, John Wood has a lot of the PR stuff. And, of course, John was a former racer. You know, he raced back in the early 2000s. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Childress does and what Joe Gibbs does, because, you know, I remember at the beginning of the year it was basically, you know, rumored that JGR was looking to possibly sell the team to Suarez's family. Now I think that as time went on, we found that to be pretty farce and not anywhere near truth. But it did open up the question of what happens to these owners as they get older. Will the torch, so to speak, be passed on to someone within the business? I believe that Hendrick is structured to last well past Mr. Rick Hendrick. But, of course, you know, we've had a generation gap now with Mr. Hendrick with the loss of his son, Ricky. So it's not somebody like Marcus Smith who can take the reins of Bruton Smith. Or, of course, you know, Brian France, who's trying to fill the shoes of Bill France Jr. I think it's going to get a little bit more complicated with some of these teams, especially when you talk about Joe Gibbs. I believe his son has certain health issues and won't be able to take over the team. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the geographic is laid in the next 10 years. And, you know, we've got Tony Stewart as a car owner. Who's the next guy that's going to step up? Obviously, owning cars these days is a lot different than it used to be. You don't field a car unless you have that sole sponsorship, or you try not to have a driver that's not going to win. And I think that that's, you know, it's, we're going to have a lot of open rides in the next few years as the talent recycles itself. And it'll be interesting to see if we recycle a few of the owners as well and see how that goes. Do you have any takes on that? Do you have anything else to go with that?
That's something you put a lot more thought into. I had never thought about the ownership where some of these teams, the direction they might be heading because of lack of offspring. So
You know, it's definitely something to look into, and I know CJ Sports, I kind of, you know, I go beyond what other journalists are looking at. I want to find the things that nobody else is talking about, and it's so many times that we've mentioned something on this show, and then a couple of weeks later, you find that, you know, we weren't too far off the grade when we started predicting stuff, and so, you know, it's understanding the geographics of things and understanding how the business works really gives a competitive edge to those who know the history of NASCAR. And that's one thing that I think was really smooth about this show is both of us love racing and have been around it for a long time. And we're able to kind of go back off into the, you know, the way the sport was built. And you know, I want to see the torch handed off. Roush Racing is probably one right now that I would believe that's on the bubble in the next five years. Roush Racing. So we'll do a quick poll. Roush Racing, here or gone in 5 years?
I think they'll still be here in 5 years. I think that the way Ricky Stenhouse and even Trevor Payne has been racing, I think that they are finally getting it. I don't think they're winning a championship anytime soon. But I think consistently they're going to be making the playoffs. Consistently we'll get Jack Roush car. They might be going to one car once a year. But I think that they are finally hitting on something, and they're finally getting things turned around.
All right. And JGR?
Of course I think he'll get free. He's going to be there.
talking about the name of the company, you know, and I have a feeling that Joe Gibbs is going to be one of those guys that's not going to be here in 5 years. I agree with Roush Fenway. Roush has been able to stick it out through all kinds of turmoil and plane crashes and drivers leaving, and he's always been able to rebound. People have a certain trust with the Cat in the Hat. They know that he knows if he can fix the problem, he'll fix it. And so I do believe that in some form or fashion, Roush Fenway Racing will be around in 5 years. But as for JGR, you know, we're talking about a Hall of Fame coach who just come into racing because he loved it. I see an exit strategy somewhere within the company, and I think that it will be in the next 5 years. Hendrick Racing, of course, what do you think in 5 years? Here or gone?
I think they'll be there. I think there's too many historic names like Ford and Earnhardt, so forth and so forth, that has been part of that organization, Mark Martin, that if they needed somebody to step in, like I honestly believe there's already a plan in place. So if something happens, you know, until, you know, it's rewritten, this is what's going to happen, this is takes over. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a junior. Junior, he's already been quoted many times to be somebody he's ever had. With the unfortunate passing, Junior has Junior Motorsports, so he's already ran I wouldn't be surprised if something was to happen to Hendrick tomorrow that Junior was appointed, you know, to be in charge, CEO or whatever, of Hendrick Motorsports. I think Mr. Hendrick is a very smart guy and a very strategic person, and the way he recruits his drivers and makes sure he has the best of the best, I think he has a plan to make sure that Hendrick Motorsports sees his foot.
I think with Hendrick's motor department, like similar to Roush, the investment is there. So I definitely see Hendrick going well beyond 5 years. Now, it may be a bit in peace. You know, we still have DEI building engines, but, you know, it's Earnhardt Childress engines. So in some form and fashion, Dale Earnhardt Incorporated is still around. But I think Hendrick will be in full force. Now, this is a good one. Stuart Haas Racing, here or gone in 5 years?
I think because of Stuart's love for racing,
I think that it'll be here. This man genuinely loves racing, genuinely loves to give young drivers the opportunity. I mean, not only is he fielding four cars in the Monster Cup Series, not only are they got a car in the Xfinity Series, but he provides opportunities at all these local tracks for up-and-coming drivers, and he has the racetrack. Tony Stewart lives and breathes racing. I cannot see Stewart Haas races going anywhere. He may not show his presence at the track as often as other owners, but that's because he has so much love for all types of racing and wants to be impactful in so many ways. Love him or hate him, you got to admire his passion towards racing, and I would find it hard to believe that Stewart Haas Racing would close shop any time before he passed away.
All right, now I'm going to have to go on the opposite side with you, Mr. CJ Sports. I say Stewart Haas Racing gone in 5 years, and I'm going to tell you why. Haas, Gene Haas, went into a deal many years ago with Tony Stewart. Haas was a mid-grade to low-end race team. They didn't attract big drivers. Jeff Green, several drivers that Johnny Sauter, I do believe, raced for Haas, what was considered then MBM Racing, I believe. Stewart, of course, has retired from NASCAR. I think that he is obligated to the drivers that he has brought to the stable, because without Stewart, I don't believe that Gene Haas, who has been known to break a few laws every now and then, I don't believe that there would have been as much of a trust factor. I think that Stewart kind of was able to lay that foundation that this is a legit business. We're going to be around a long time. But with the aging of Harvick, Clint Bowyer 4 or 5 years down the road is not going to be the Clint Bowyer we know now. Harvick as well. So I would take Stewart off Haas Racing. And so I'll only midway agree with you here. I believe Haas Racing will be around in 5 years. But I think the Stewart factor will either have moved on to another place or completely gotten out of the spokesperson for the billionaire in the group, and that's Gene Haas.
Would it be too far-fetched to believe that Stewart hangs around, regardless if Haas hangs around or not, and Kevin Harvick, who's a previous team owner and best friend of Tony Stewart, take some financial money and become an invested partner and open up this operation to be more than just Stewart or Stewart Haas? Would that be too far-fetched?
Yeah, no, not at all, because what it would be is a Chevy bond again with Gene Haas going to Ford. You know, it's always the comeback kid. I see where you're going with that, and so you're kind of agreeing if you take the Stewart off the Haas, I see Haas Racing, and I could also see a Stewart-Harvick relationship maybe rebonding it with the old GM guys down the road. You know, I mean, it's the whole LeBron thing. You know, everybody's got to be mainstream. Everybody's got to be LeBron James. So, SHR, we kind of agree and we kind of disagree, but we're really right there in the middle. Something about Stewart Haas says it's probably not going to be this team as it is now in 5 years. So we'll go on to Penske. I've got a strong opinion on Penske, so I'm going to let you go first.
It's hard to believe with the talent they have, and then knowing Ryan Blaney is part of Penske and seeing him perform. As long as Roger has something set up in case his health takes a dip down south or, you know, whatever, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what backup plan is. But as say that Penske has perfect health for the next 10 years, I think Penske will be around for the next 10 years. As much money as Penske brings in, and the fact that he's in multiple different types of racing, and he right now has probably three of easily the top 10, maybe easily three of the top 7 to 8 drivers in NASCAR, technically part of his organization, and all of them young, and I don't see any of them going anywhere, regardless if Ryan Blaney comes over to Penske or stays part of Wood Brothers. Which there's a lot of talk of Paul Menard and Menard going to be the sponsor over there. Who knows? Who knows that? I agree. It's a real bad decision. But I think that Penske, out of all the situations right now, I think Penske has the best situation with the drivers he has. They're still young. They're very talented. Like I said, easily top three out of the top 8 to 10 drivers in NASCAR right now.
And you know what I see over there in the corner? I see Vanna White clapping her hands because I believe that we're fixing to solve this puzzle, Pat Sajak. And here's why. Penske, it's Penske, y'all. It's Penske. It's on the side of trucks when you pass them down the interstate. It's a multi-billion dollar business. It's an industry. Roger Penske will be gone 10 years before his race teams ever feel the effect of it. And the reason why I believe this wholeheartedly is because we're talking about a man who's a billionaire, who's been a leading industry maker in the industrial world. He's a Fortune 500 himself. There's no doubt in my mind that there's not already a board of trustees that's set out on what to do with his race teams and how they should be maintained. We're talking about the business of all businessmen. We're talking about when Hendrick sits over there in his shop, he's wanting to know what's going on at Penske's shop, okay? Penske doesn't care who's going where, what or the other, because he is the captain. He's got this stuff figured out, race fans. I can promise you in 15, 20 years, Penske Racing will still be going strong. And I believe that they will be in a love bond with Dodge, and they will be the leading Dodge motor builder once again with a big Penske stamp on it. With Ford making their investment into short track racing, I do believe Mopar is going to be right behind them. They're going to kind of follow the tour there. Penske's always been known to take that gamble. He's left Ford to go back to Ford. He's ditched Chevy. He drove Pontiacs. You know, Penske's about business. So Penske business, of course, business as usual, 10 years plus. It's finally good to agree with you today on the show, Mr. CJ Sports. We finally got that one that we actually agree with this time, right?
There you go.
Man, we have burned up 51 minutes already, and I ain't even took a breath yet, brother. I tell you what, I love this show. I hope that y'all listen to it. Listeners out there, I hope y'all are listening to it. I hope I'm not talking too fast. I hope I'm keeping you engaged. CJ only gives me an hour here, so I got to make sure I cram everything in it. And the one thing about this show, this isn't really journalism. We'll tell you when we're bringing journalism. We're bringing you the opinion. We're bringing you what you're not going to hear on NASCAR radio. This the same old blah, 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 blah all week long. It hammers in your ear. When you come and you listen to Racing with Big Sweat, you're going to get the real stuff. You know, we're throwing it out there. Who else have you known to throw out a poll on who's the GOAT? Who else do you know is going to sit here and have a, is he here or gone next, you know, in the next 5 years? You're going to hear it right here on Racing with Big Sweat. We want to thank the 110 Nation, the only nation, the only sports nation, the 110 Nation, the only nation of sports. I should say it like that. Yeah, the only nation of sports, the 110 Nation. Mr. CJ, you know I love you guys, man.
Yes, I do.
My guy over there, he's like, okay, what do you want me to say to that? So, hey, we're going into Sonoma. Of course, this is the road course. We've got a few road ringers out there. I believe 5 total road ringers in the field. What's up with that, CJ Sports? We've seen over the last few years these road ringers haven't been very relevant. Why all of a sudden the shift back to 5 non-series following drivers in this race?
Injury's part of it. I think you're doing Bubba Wallace an injustice by not letting him be out there. The uncertainty of Erica Morello, yes, it sounds like he's going to come back, but who knows? I don't like they're pulling Bubba Wallace out of the car and bringing somebody else in. I'm really not big on having to hear about Boris Head and said heads and everything else. A ringer that everybody makes such a big deal about out that way and never wins the Dagon Cup Series race. I'm not big on the ringer. I think I'm not you're right.
Pitbull was going to beat him up one time.
I think the Cup drivers have gotten a lot
better.
Better
be glad he didn't ride by
Pitbull's
house.
I think that the Cup drivers have gotten a lot better. The talent level on the Cup side is much better than it once was. I think that's why the Ringers have been so ineffective for so long. And I think the teams are doing themselves an injustice. You're pretty much eliminating yourself out of an opportunity to be in the chase because you took your driver out of the race for no reason. You don't get a pardon because you felt your driver wasn't good enough to be in the road course and get a pardon and still be in the chase. You eliminate yourself by doing it. All you got to do is be in the top 30 in points to win a race, and you're possibly in. So why would you pull yourself out of that opportunity? You never know what's going to happen, especially now with the stage playing into factor on a race that is already strategically backwards, because they pick backwards as it is. Not only strategically wise, but also literally they pit backwards. They go down pit road the opposite direction. That might be walking, but I don't know which one they do back. One of them they do backwards. But either way, I don't like the whole Ringer thing. Why disrupt the rhythm? Why pull your driver out? Why take yourself out of an opportunity because you never know? Nobody thought Chris Buescher was going to win last year. Nobody thought Eric Amarillo was going to win the year before that. I think we had an idea that A.J. Allmendinger was going to win a race. I don't think that one was a big surprise. But just imagine if they would have pulled him out of the car because he wasn't performing to their performance and brought a Ringer in and didn't have the opportunity to be in the chase. I think the teams, especially if you've got a driver, you're running a full 36 race season, I think you're doing yourself an injustice, no matter what your opinion is of your driver on the road courses, because you never know what's going to happen. Any given Sunday, something can happen to put your guy in victory lane, shoot yourself in the foot, and get locked into that chase.
Right. And I'm right there with you, CJ Sports. This is no longer the day and age of the Busch North and the Busch West series meeting out to fill the field at Sonoma or Watkins Glen, okay? And what I don't understand, Mr. CJ Sports, is why some of these low-budget teams that's fielding a car for, like a Boris said, or better yet, check out this name, a Josh Bilicki, a Tommy Reagan. Okay, guys, why didn't you just bring your backup car and enlist it into the race? Because there's only 38 people racing. Two other teams could have brought their backup car, registered to race, and then had your normal driver and your road ringer. To me, that makes absolutely no sense unless you already know your road ringer is renting the equipment and will probably drive it like you stole it, which means you won't be getting anything much back but the steering wheel. Truth or false?
Truth.
Yeah, it just makes no sense, guys. If you got 40 cars that can be in the field, somebody back that thing off the back of the truck and say, this is 33B. Well, sir, you can't have a 33B. Okay, then it's 37C.
Throw whatever number you want to throw on that thing, Mr. NASCAR. We're going out there to race.
Exactly. This is my backup car, and it's my. I'll make the race if we can in this car. So it just really doesn't make any sense. I can kind of see the move with Bubba, but I'm not going to go there too much. I believe that his meltdowns in the car might have his temperament may have something to do with this because they have had a hard time keeping him calm in the race car, and putting him under pressure in a road course is probably a little bit more than I would say Bubba Wallace can handle. And if I get some rip for that one, I'll get some rip for it. But I'm telling you, I kind of see the Billy Johnson. He's a proven guy. I think that you're looking at a top 10 finish. Maybe Billy Johnson will be the one road ringer that has a good finish. But as for Boris said, you know, you're going to get back a steering wheel. Some of these other guys, you're not talking about Tommy Kendall and Scott Pruitt and Juan Pablo Montoya. We're talking about guys we've never even heard of. It's not, I was trying to think of that Canadian that always raced, Alex, what's his last name? Anyway, we'll move on from that. But I agree with you, Mr. CJ Sports. Keep the local guys in there. This is their series. Let them collect the points. If they finish last, they finish last. But definitely don't give the ride to one of these guys. We already got the best drivers in the world. Those guys don't need a substitute from people who think that they can drive a race car. Great points tonight. We're on the money. I do want to get some quick facts real quick to give you maybe some favorites for the race Sunday when they race out in that California sun at Sonoma. Hold on just a second. I had the stats here pulled up. Mr. CJ, I know you got a couple more shows you want to throw in for advertisement. That'd be a good time for that, buddy.
All right, for wrap-up later, Hot Laps with Stats. Well, I'm just going to flip my grid. Anyway, tomorrow night, Hot Laps with Stats, 8 o'clock, right here at the One Condition Radio Network. Just tomorrow, Riverhead, Figure 8 driver, Tom Ferraro and John Biscotti the third, and driver C.J. Lehman for Biscotti Motorsports as they get ready for their first color modified sports race at their home track, Riverhead. You guys, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at OneFinNation. Check us out on Facebook, OneFinNation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.OneFinNationSports.com. I also got to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Paige Stockdale of It Works. And the name that you were looking for a minute ago was Ron Fellows.
Alex Taganali. Alex Taganali. What was that? Was that right? I cannot pronounce his last name. Alex something,
sure.
But yeah, good job on that, Ron Fellows. Yes, he even drove a junior car a few years ago.
I got to thank Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcasting the show. I'm going to throw out this name here in a second. I think Mike's typing the name you're probably
Alex Agliani. Agliani, I think is how you pronounce it.
Christina Aguilera, what?
So she's not on the odds to win this weekend at Sonoma. Christina Aguilera is not on the list.
Anything to happen, there's two open spots. Why not?
Right. So real quick, the Vegas odds. Who do you think is leading the charts on the Vegas odds? Who's your favorite?
Kyle Busch.
11-2 odds, but believe it or not, Martin Truex Jr. with a 5-1 odd this week to win the Toyota Save Mart 350. Yeah, Martin Truex Jr. So Vegas is going on. Vegas is going on Truex's stage wins, obviously, because he is the favorite. Jimmy Johnson, you're safe with a 15-2 odd, sir.
Where's Allmendinger at?
Allmendinger is a 9-1. Clint Bowyer is a 9-1 as well. 12-1. Denny Hamlin. So those are Kyle Larson. Good. Kyle Larson is a 12-1. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a 40-1. So go put your money on Jr. That one pays out good, guys. Eric Jones is also on the list. He is 100-1. Austin Dillon is 100. Daniel Suarez, who has, guys, this is the first time we will see Suarez in action at a Cup road course. Don't be surprised if you see that 19 near the front at the end. I'm telling you right now, these guys who come from other countries, they know how to race these road courses.
What's Danica's odds?
I hate to tell you. She must be 100-1. She's not even on the list, brother. I want to say I'm scared to announce that and then find her, but on the VegasInsider.com does not have Danica Patrick listed. So she would be your best bet if you were to be going and betting this weekend on racing. Yeah, Joey Logano, he's sitting at a 20-1 favorite. So Brad Keselowski is actually a 25-1 favorite. Chase Elliott's a 30-1. So interesting there that Danica Patrick did not make the list. And I've been secretly saying that Danica Patrick could get one of these wins at a road course. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So, guys, I hope that y'all have had a good time tonight. Hopefully, caution flag wasn't as obnoxious as he always is, but I'm pretty sure that I was pretty obnoxious. So I'm not pretty. I'm actually ugly, so that's kind of great. But obnoxious is hopefully what you guys want when you're listening to this show I have a good time with Mr. CJ Sports. We agree to disagree, and sometimes we agree to agree. So it's always a fun time. And being able to meddle with you and actually support each other's different opinions is, I think, what kind of makes this show different from everybody else's. Of course, I believe that we're one of the longest-standing shows with your network, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Been around a long time and want to continue to be the flagship of this network. And guys, if you have any feedback, we found a new group, the Love for Racing group. 26,000 people are in that group, guys. So if you're listening in, you love NASCAR, go over there to the Love for Racing group, the Love for NASCAR group. And join there. A lot of news, a lot of cool things going over there. 27,000 people in that group. So definitely a place to help share your information and your cool articles. Of course, we'll be back on, as always, next week, next Thursday, same bat time, same bat place. I hope that you come out to Why Not Motorsports Park this Saturday night. We're going to have the biggest fireworks show ever in Meridian, Mississippi, right out of Why Not Motorsports Park. Rodney Wing lights up the sky, guaranteed to be a big event for the Midsummer Championships at Why Not Motorsports Park, the House of Hook. Be there. And, guys, we know that there's weather all around, but hopefully I made a deal with Mother Nature earlier, and hopefully she'll abide by that deal, and we'll have us some great racing out there on that red dirt clay. I want to thank Mr. CJ Sports for being here. I want to thank Ms. Lee Reed for everything that she does in the back. I want to thank Mike Perricone for listening to the show and giving us some stats and some helping me finish my sentences sometimes when I'm overloaded with caffeine. Thanks, Mike, for everything that you do. Also, Shannon Boland, I want to get him on my show. I want him on the show. We need to talk about some late model racing. And so I need to get Shannon on the show. Make that happen for me, Mr. CJ Sports. And everybody else that's a part of this 110 Nation team. I've been here for 3 years. I enjoy it. It's my moment to release, and I hope that you guys enjoy it as well. If you have any opinions, any feedback, or if you just want to call us idiots, you can do that as well. Just comment down below on the link. Or hit us up at 110 Nation. You can find me at Flag of Caution on Twitter and Yellow Caution Flag on Facebook. So, guys, I want to wrap things up. Is there anything else there for you, Mr. CJ Sports? Did I forget anybody?
No, I think you got everybody.
Oh, good. That's great. So we went 7 minutes over. Oh, yeah. Make sure you give those affiliates, man. Give those affiliates another shout-out one more time.
Got to thank Fit for Life, Paige Stockdale Event Works, Mile High Radio, and I-95 Sports Network. Without these great marketing partners, we couldn't do what we do and grow the way we grow, so we got to thank each and every last one of them.
Hey, and you know what? Silly season is in effect. We'll have another show next week. We'll try to hit some of the rumors, and hopefully some deals will have already landed. Of course, keep your eye this weekend. I've got, who do you have to win? CJ Sports. Mike, send in who you have to win. CJ, who you got to win?
I'm going with Kyle Busch. He's been running runner-up too much, and I think Kyle Busch wins on a road course.
Boosh. I'm not going for the Busch. I'm going to pull it out. Kurt Busch gets it. Well, I'm going for the elder Busch.
I was going to say I'm not going for a Busch, then say Kurt Busch.
Well, maybe it's because I just then, looking at the odds, I decided I was going to go with the underdog. I was going to go with A.J. Allmendinger. Clint Bowyer even crossed my mind. But you know what? Kurt Busch hasn't had a win since Daytona. I love the Fords. I love what the Blue Oval's doing. I got to go for the Busch. But it's Kurt Busch. And he's going to be drinking a lot of Monster Energy.
I got, at this end, Shorty is going with Kyle Larson, and Mike is going with A.J. Allmendinger.
All righty. See there? See, Mike? I let you have that one. All right, guys. Hey, we appreciate you for listening in. And like I said, be back with us next week. Same bat time, same bat places. Racing with Big Sweat. Steve, we love you, man. Number 91 forever.